Deborah Zeisman is the executive director of the Hawaii Children's Action Network and the co-author of the Hawaii Early Learning Needs Assessment Report, a study that takes a hard look at the state's available resources in terms of what our young children need.
We took a look at our state, along with the University of Hawaii Center on the Family, to take a look at the programs and services we have for kids from birth up to kindergarten, mm-hmm. and take a look at where we have gaps. And so there's good news and there's bad news from these findings. So the good news is that many of the child care and preschool programs that we do have in Hawaii are of very high quality compared to what we see in other states. We have many of our programs that are accredited. They're doing what are considered to be best practices to help kids get ready for school, things like that. So that's the good news. The programs we have are of exceptionally high quality. The not so great news for Hawaii right now is that we have many spots in our state that are considered childcare deserts, mm-hmm. meaning there are very few slots available. It's when we talk to parents, sometimes they say, I talk to a childcare site and they tell me I should get my kid on the list before I even conceive, before I'm even pregnant, we should get on the list uh-huh. for a childcare slot. So the research we just conducted shows that for our kids before kindergarten, there is only one childcare slot in the state for every four kids. And when we start talking about our babies, the infants and the toddlers, it's actually one spot for every 37 children. And it's actually worse when we start talking about the neighbor island and our rural communities. So the best situation is in downtown urban Honolulu, that we have the most child care options. Our neighbor islands, it's really hard to find child care.
What kind of early childhood education and child care is ideal for those early years?
Oh,
when you say best practices.
Best practices meaning the education level of the teachers in the classroom. Do the teachers have like a bachelor's degree in early childhood development or early education? Are they doing a formal curriculum? Are they providing assessments of the children? Those are some of the things that are best practices. Mm-hmm. So I don't think we don't have one recommendation of the best environment, because I think families want all different things. So in our state, we have public preschool spots on our DOE campuses and in charter schools. We have centers. That's sometimes what people think about, centers that serve many, many children of different ages. We have, and we're hoping to see a growing number of what's called family child care, where mom, a dad, an auntie might open up a child care facility in their home and serve a small number of children. And I think that's actually a great option that we're hoping to see more of in our rural communities.
Are there legal barriers to that?
Not necessarily. The only ones might be if you have like a housing association or something that doesn't allow you to operate a mm-hmm. child care in your apartment.
But I mean, is there an accreditation process?
Yeah. So what we're trying to do is, so Department of Human Services licenses those folks. And I think we need to be thinking strategically about how do we help more people open small child care, make sure they get licensed by Department of Human Services to make sure that they're safe and doing these best practices for our kids.
They're sort of moving back toward taking care of issues within the community rather than having the community look to government to solve its problems?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's one piece. I think there's some great opportunities for small business to kind of come up in local communities. Again, I think we're trying to think how, sometimes we know those things are probably happening off the grid, mm-hmm. but how do we make sure that there is some regulation with Department of Human Services? You know, they should be getting licensed. We want to make sure that, you know, the cribs for the babies are the safe cribs that they should be using, and they're following correct practice. They have smoke detectors in the home, that the people in the home have been background checked to make sure that there's no safety issues. So I think we think those are great businesses. We also want to make sure that they're regulated. You know, we regulate restaurants and hair salons and nail salons. We should make sure that we're at least regulating for safety and trying to help those programs be as high quality as possible.
So often, Deborah, when we're discussing a pressing social problem, mm-hmm. we come to a conclusion along these lines. We need $500 million. Something needs to be done. And that's kind of where our study ends.
Yep.
You know, the conclusion of the study is we wish we had a lot more money. Well, so is everybody else's study.
Right.
Say the same thing.
We always want more money, Chris. I think that's often the solution. Well, and frankly, I do think that is what part of the solution. I think Hawaii is quite a far behind in other states in terms of investing in early childhood. Mm-hmm. We've seen much larger investments in other states. I do think we should be looking to the counties potentially. Maui County is the only county in our state that offers child care subsidies. And we are seeing around the nation a lot of counties that are helping families out. I also think there's room for our business community. I think on the mainland, we see many more businesses opening child care on site, right? Some larger businesses and hospitals and things like that, and helping to subsidize it. So again, part of this study also shows how expensive our child care and preschool is for families right now. And so I think there's opportunity in all of those areas. You know, I think if we have more of our hotels and banks and hospitals opening child care on site and helping to subsidize it, that takes care of the problem. I think we can be looking to things like tax credits or things to help the small business open up and startup costs, things of that sort. So, yes, we would definitely say money can help in this situation, but I think there's some creativity that can also happen.
Because you're going to just hit a dead end if you just say we need more money and leave it at that,
yeah.
Right?
No. And I think there's not one magic solution to this. I think it's going to take a multitude of different solutions. And what's needed here in urban Honolulu is not what's needed in Puna. You know, there's different things that we'll need to make sure that our kids are served. I think at the end of the day, what we need to grapple with as a community is we know we have a growing number of children from birth up into kindergarten. We know that we have most families, all adults are in the workforce right now, right? We have, so where are the children during the day?
That how
are we
making,
right? There's this gap. So how do we make sure that parents can send kids someplace that is safe, that is affordable, and is of the highest quality possible so that they're also getting them ready for school? So to me, that's what we should be focusing on, is we know this is a need for families, a need for employers, because if you don't know where your kid's going during the day, you might not be showing up to work every day, or things of that sort, and a need for the kids. We know that those early years are important for brain development, as you said earlier. So it's an all of us situation, right? That families need it, the kids for the future learning need it, and honestly, I think employers need it because that's our workforce.
And you've already kind of answered most of the next question in my head, which is when you're called upon to make an argument for investing in early childhood learning to a business, to any kind of institution, you know, what arguments do you make? You touched on them already.
I think that exact piece, that this is not the 1950s anymore, where you have a lot of stay-at-home, you know, parents that can take care of the children until they go off to kindergarten. We know in Hawaii in particular, where cost of living is expensive, everyone is working one, if not two, jobs. We don't have family leave here in Hawaii. So people are going back to work very quickly after having a baby. Mm-hmm. So they have a 5-6 week old and they need care all the way up until the time that child is five. And so we really need to be thinking about what are the options. In the study, we also found there's very few options for things like nighttime or weekend care. So if you don't work a regular 8:30 to 4:30 job, you know, if you're a nurse and you work overnight, so you might have a very hard time in our community finding options for care.
That much
Whereas
tougher.
In other states, we've seen more things where there are a smaller number of options, but people who work in the tourism industry and are working shift work or in hospitals and things, and they may need a safe place to make sure their children are taken care of that's on a weekend or that's in the evening.
Are you optimistic of being able to bring about this rather sweeping social change?
Well, I am. I think this is being addressed really across the nation. It's a bipartisan issue, actually. And in some ways, we're actually seeing more forward progress in our heavily Republican states, which is interesting. They're looking at it as an economic development issue. If we need people in the workforce, we need to be providing child care. And they're viewing it as prepping the future workforce. So I think this is an issue that affects all of us, whether you have young children or not, if you're an employee, if you're an employer. Our society has changed. We need to think about how to take care of our young kids.
Deborah Zeisman is the executive director of the Hawaii Children's Action Network, and you can find links to the new study on the Conversation website at hawaiipublicradio.org.